There is an interesting passage of Scripture found in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Here God tells Moses, life of the flesh is in the blood. You know, blood is essential to the preservation of life. No doubt many of us here have gone to various places and donated blood. I know we had the Red Cross come to places that I worked to get blood donations. We have a donation center down here on Dawson Road, and you can go to the hospital. There's various places that you can go to give blood, because blood is the living element. It's the element of life for all of us. And you know, we can live without a lot of things, but we cannot live without blood. You know, blood contains the power of life in several different ways, and I'm not going to do a science lesson this morning, but I want to bring out some of the things that what we have running through our veins right now will do for us, and we're probably not even aware that this is taking place in our bodies. But we find that blood will transport oxygen and other nutrients from our lungs and our digestive system throughout the whole body, which allows us to live and to be well. It removes carbon dioxide and cellular waste. It gives proper blood flow. It keeps the core of our body temperature at a steady degrees so that we do not overheat or become too cold. White cells kill pathogens and microbes that stray into the body. Blood substances like platelets and fibrin help blood clots when we are wounded. And blood plasma also carries other chemical messengers such as hormones and protein. So when you look at all of the many things that this substance does for us, there is life in the blood. And this is what was being said here in Leviticus 17. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And he was talking about the physical part of life. But now you flip that coin, and you look what blood does for us spiritually. And we find out that from a spiritual standpoint, life is also in the blood. The life that we know as spiritual beings is in blood. His blood. Jesus' blood. You know, if you go back through the entire Bible, you will find that God has always demanded that blood is a part of religious activity in the lives of mankind. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they became aware of their nakedness, and so they feebly tried to sew fig leaves together to cover themselves when they realized that they were naked. But this was not sufficient in God's eyes. So he covered them in animal skins. And logically speaking, some animal had to lose its life so that God could clothe man to cover his sin guilt. We find the next generation, Abel, giving a sacrifice to the Lord. His sacrifice was satisfying to God because it was a sacrifice of blood. We find that after the flood, Noah offered animal sacrifices as they left the ark in appreciation for God saving them from the flood that destroyed all of mankind. We find God's servant Abraham. He was willing to even make a blood sacrifice of his own son in order to please God, because he was instructed to do so. We find under the Mosaical law that it was a system that was built upon blood. The Mosaical law demanded the blood of bulls and goats, animals if you will, to satisfy God. And then we find Jesus. It was his blood that was offered to take away the sins of the world. It was the ultimate blood sacrifice that was given for mankind. You know, the way of the cross is indeed a way of blood. We see the bloodshed as Jesus was scourged with the whip at his trial. We see the blood shed as they braided the crown of thorns and placed it on his head. We see the blood shed as the nails, the rusty nails, were driven into his hands and his feet to hold him upon the cross. We see the blood shed as the Roman soldier pierced his side with a sword, and both blood and water came out of the side of Jesus. Indeed, my friends, spiritual life, our spiritual life, is in the blood, his blood. You know, Peter declares his blood to be a precious thing. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, Peter says that his blood is precious. It is as a lamb without spot and without blemish. And the reason he made this statement was because there is no such thing as a lamb without spot or blemish. There is no physical lamb that could be found that was perfect. But this lamb was perfect. For this lamb was the Son of God. John tells us that the blood of Jesus, that his blood was a cleansing blood. It was a continual cleansing blood. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. It is an ongoing thing. It is a purifying thing. It is a continual thing. And then Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 that the blood of Jesus, it is a redeeming blood. And then Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 that it is a justifying blood. And then in Colossians 1 and verse 20, Paul tells us that Jesus' blood is a peacemaking blood. Oh yes, there is life in the blood. Jesus' blood, it is precious. It purifies us. It redeems us. It justifies us. And it gives us peace. And it gives us sanctification. So what I want to do this morning, my friends, is learn a little bit about the power that is in this blood. Because as we just sang from the song that Jack led, there is power in the blood. First thing, the blood of Jesus, it gives us personal access to the Father. Now, how does this happen? Well, we are allowed to become priests. Under the old law of Moses, people had no access to God whatsoever except through the priest. Now, we do know that we have Christian religions today who still use this method that you can only go to God through a priest, and they have declared certain men to be priests. And we must go to the priest if we want to reach God. If we want to have the forgiveness of our sins, or if we have a need, or we have something that we need to discuss with God, we have to go through man. And this is not the way it is today with God at all. But it was the way under the old law. People had no access to God except through a priest. So each year, the priest would go into the most holy place and offer a blood sacrifice for the people. But you know, there's good news today. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, the veil in that temple was torn apart, and all could enter that most holy place. And we individually have access to the Father directly because of the blood of Jesus. The Hebrew writer speaks of this in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. He says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh." The blood of Jesus has made it possible for us to go to the Father. You know, Jesus tells us in John 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, which will be a direct opposite of what the old law stood for, because under the old law you had to go through the priest. And now we go through Jesus. The blood of Jesus has opened the way for us to have access to God. So my friends, if you want this access, if you believe this promise of Jesus, it is the way to heaven. We must accept the fact that the blood of Jesus is our way. It is our truth. It is our life. And we can go to the Father through Him. Secondly, we learn that the blood of Jesus provides for us forgiveness and eternal redemption. Again, the Hebrew writer, he takes us back to the Old Testament, and he discusses an object known as the Ark of the Covenant. You know, the Ark was a box, basically. It was made of acacia wood. It was overlaid with gold. And it had a slab of gold on top of it known as the mercy seat. Two cherubim faced each other, gazing down upon this mercy seat. Inside of the ark, we would find Aaron's rod. We would find a pot of manna. And we would find the stone tablets that had written upon them the Ten Commandments. And each year, the high priest would slay the sacrificial lamb and sprinkle its blood upon the mercy seat. You see, the law of Moses was underneath the mercy seat. It was in a place where the people could not get to it. You see, the people could not adequately obey the law of Moses. And that's why the sacrifices had to be made every year. But under the new law, God looks down upon us. Under the old law, God looked down upon the mercy seat. When God looked down upon His law, He would not see the law broken. He would see the mercy seat covered with the blood of the sacrificial lamb. Today, when God looks down upon us, He doesn't see your sin or mine. He doesn't see our failures. He doesn't see our inadequacies. What He sees is the blood. He sees the blood of His Son that has covered our sin, that has allowed us to have access to Him. Listen to these verses once again. Bill read them earlier for us, verses 12, 13, and 14. When it talks about the blood, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your consciousness from dead works to serve the living God? The Hebrew writer here is giving us a contrast between the old system, which was a system of law-keeping. It was a system of rituals. It was a system of animal sacrifices. And then he tells us about the new way, the better way, that our salvation is not dependent upon law-keeping. It is not dependent upon these religious rituals and all the good works that we can do. But it is dependent upon the blood of Christ. Again, there is life in the blood. We're not dependent upon the blood of animals. We're not dependent to have to make this sacrifice in some crude man-made tent or some tabernacle or some temple to go to God for the purpose of asking for our forgiveness. But the blood of Jesus, He offered it for us once and for all, and He did so on the cross. That was the price. The blood of Jesus on the cross. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold or your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, my friends, it is the blood of Christ that gives you forgiveness. It is the blood of Christ that offers you redemption. It is the blood of Christ that saves you from your sins. And then we find that the blood is our path to peace and contentment. You know, we have not always had peace and contentment, have we? Mankind in general has not always known peace. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 tells us that before Jesus and before the blood of Christ, that your iniquities had separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. But now we are assured that we can have peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us this in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. He says, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." And then we can have that peace if we will put our hands into the Christ who shed His blood for us. And if we will live for Him daily throughout our lives, that blood will cleanse us. It will purify us. It will wash us. John tells us, 1 John 1 verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Genuine peace, genuine redemption comes from knowing and acknowledging that we have been reconciled to God because of the blood of Christ. Again, let me say, there is power in the blood. And then finally, the blood of Christ can lead us home. You know, Peter talks about us being sojourners, pilgrims, if you will. As we roam this earth, we're not home. We're not settled. There is another place, a place that is greater, a place that is wonderful, a place that gives us this eternal rest, this eternal peace, this eternal love and joy. And the only way to get there is through the blood of Jesus. I want to read to you something from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God and who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessed and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in the temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. My friends, this passage of Scripture tells us this is what the blood of Jesus can do. This is what the blood of Jesus can give to you and me today. A wonderful eternity with God on His throne, serving Him, worshiping Him, living with Him for all eternity. No trials, no tribulations, never hunger, never thirst. Life is a utopia, all because of the blood of Jesus. And I declare this morning, my friends, that what we need is to be sure that we benefit from His blood. I ask you today, do you have the blood of Jesus? Have you been covered with His blood? Have you been washed? Have you been cleansed? Have you been redeemed? Have you been saved by the blood of the Lamb? If you haven't, you can. It takes faith. It takes a changed life, a repentance of sin. It takes a confession to show the world your belief, your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. And it takes being born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if you haven't done this, my friend, you need this, because this is how you come in contact with the blood of Jesus. And Christian friend, if you have done this, perhaps you have allowed the sins of the world to filter its way back into your life. If this is the case, you need to confess these faults, acknowledge them, ask God to forgive you for them, and He will. You know, if you will do these things, then you can know for sure that you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, because there is power in the blood. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.